this session, we want to deal with discipline. We're going to launch this session and next dealing with the subject of discipline. And we want to evaluate effective discipline here. Just take this time to sort of weigh it out. People have all kinds of ideas, don't they, about how we ought to discipline, how we ought to correct our children. There's all kinds of, it seems like, parenting articles come out all the time. You can get online and find tons of stuff. There's just a lot of information about that. But it's amazing to me how God has taken this responsibility of raising children, and He's given it to us. And that's just as unbelievable. I mean, we're flawed, right? We make mistakes. And yet, look at that child that God has given you. And He says, okay, I want you to raise this kid for me. And that's a huge deal. This is somebody who enters into the world knowing absolutely nothing. And what we do as a parent will be the single greatest influence that shapes that child's understanding of the world, that child's understanding of God, and that child's understanding of himself. Scripture shows that our responsibility as parents is to glorify God by obeying Him in the training of our children. It's God who works in their hearts, and it's our children's responsibility to respond. But as we've emphasized, success as a parent is not determined based on how my children turn out, right? That's not the issue. The issue is, and it always is, have I been obedient to God? Have I done what God has called me to do as a parent? If I have, if I've done what God has asked, and I've done it the way that God has asked, then I have been successful, even if my children do not come to faith in Christ and live their lives for Him. That's really hard for some parents to get their mind around. Because we based success so often on the results. If that were the case, then you would be able to take credit for your kids turning out. And you can't take credit for that. God gets the glory when your kids follow Him. My responsibility is simply to obey God in the training of my children, and God changes their hearts. So if your children are believers who are successfully and faithfully following Christ, it's not because you did everything right. Just write that down. It's not because you did everything right. You can't take credit for the deal. And if your children are unbelievers whose lives are complete messes, then you need to understand it's not because you did everything wrong. Okay? That's very important. It's not because you did everything wrong. Listen, I am, as a parent, I am absolutely dependent on God to work in me and through me, in spite of me, as I engage in the task of God-centered parenting. So, as we look at this idea of training from last time, we're initiating them into the concept of submission. It's not just enough to provide spiritual instruction or parental affirmation for our children. Training requires that we implement biblical correction. So as long as your child is in your home and under your authority, there's still the expectation that God will use those things, that training, the instruction, the affirmation, the correction, that God will use that in his or her life. You can't do that. You can't just lose hope, throw your hands up in the air and say, forget it, I'm done, it doesn't work. If you do that, essentially what you're doing is setting your heart on your child's destruction. Proverbs 19:18 says, discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. Yeah, some of you are like, okay, good reminder, because right now, sometimes, I feel like putting him to death. Okay, I can't do that. God says so. I've got a Bible verse. Right? No, in other words, if you lose hope and you fail to provide biblical correction for your child, then what you're actually doing is you're assisting your child down a path that will lead to his or her destruction. That's what this is saying. The spiritual problem is that your child was born a sinner. Your child doesn't know God. Your child's heart is bent on doing his or her own way. And what's bound up in your child's heart, right? It's not goodness. It's not righteousness. What's bound in their heart is foolishness. And God has intended biblical correction to be the tool that addresses this great issue in their heart. Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of discipline drives it far from him. This needs to be a memory verse for parents. You need to memorize this verse. Write it down. Just remember, when it gets tough, when you're at wit's end in your home, bring out your memory verse, recall it. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. So this not only tells us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, it also shows that we as parents have been entrusted with a tool that, when used correctly, will drive the foolishness from our child's heart. The tool here is called the rod of correction. Now, in the Bible, the word rod is sometimes used as a metaphor, as a symbol of authority or protection. For instance, in Psalm 23, it refers to the rod of the Lord, right, who is our shepherd. His authority and protection is what comforts us. However, other times the word rod is not used as a metaphor or not used symbolically. It's used literally. In the book of Proverbs, there are 9 passages that mention the use of the rod. And in each passage, the rod is depicted, get this, as a literal physical tool used in discipline and correction. In Proverbs, 9 times the rod is given, and each time it is literal. It's not used metaphorically. Parents are to use the rod, not because they understand it completely, but because God commands the use of the rod. Biblical correction is an act of faith. It's an act of faith by parents who, out of their submissive obedience to God, trust Him completely as they follow Him in the training of their children. So we're going to talk about discipline in this session. And we're going to talk about disciplining in terms of using the rod or using a spanking. The kind of correction God calls parents to involves a neutral tool. And the implementation of that tool we'll call, for the sake of this seminar, a spanking. It's called different things. Some people don't like to use the word spanking because of the negative connotations. If you want to just refer to it by discipline, we can do that. Discipline, kind of a code word, right, for spanking. I remember it was probably 8 years ago, we used to do Hope Seminars, little pins that you have, and we would invite the community. So these were unbelievers that were coming in, and we did parenting seminars for the community. And we advertised to do that, so this was put in the papers. And one of the hooks that we used to let people know we'll be talking about spanking. Well, you've heard of the Pitch magazine? I don't think it's out anymore, but anytime you went down to the plaza, you would get, they would be handing out Pitch magazines, real liberal, kind of an artsy deal. Well, they did an article on this, very tongue-in-cheek, satirical. And so they called me the spank master. So that was my in that article. And we'll use discipline or spanking. We're talking about the same thing. And so we talk about this. And some of you, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, are you kidding me? I mean, really? Are you kidding? Are you saying that God actually advocates and even commands parents discipline their children by spanking? I mean, you've got to be kidding. So this is a controversial subject today because many people consider this form of discipline to be excessive and abusive. Some of you may even have a real problem with this concept because when you think about a spanking, your mind goes back to maybe how you were abused as a child. And what you experienced was anything but loving, and it was anything but helpful. It was harsh, it was ugly, it was cruel. The people who hit you, who spanked you, were angry and frustrated, and the spanking was just their way of taking it all out on you. I get that. So when you hear that biblical correction involves the use of the rod, then it really doesn't set well with you. So what I'd say to you is that what you experienced may have been labeled spanking, and even some of you may have been spanked as a kid, but I don't think it could be labeled a biblical correction. What we're going to do in this session is look at the difference. While sometimes spanking is given as a label to cover a wide variety of things, actually, sometimes spanking can be abuse. But you need to understand that the form of discipline that the Bible talks about when it talks about the use of the rod is not abuse. So what is abuse? I want to read to you what the Kansas State statute on abuse actually says. Here's what they say, quote, "Physical, mental, or emotional abuse means the affliction of physical, mental, or emotional harm or the causing of a deterioration of a child, and may include, but shall not be limited to, maltreatment or exploiting a child to the extent that the child's health or emotional well-being is endangered." So when you understand biblical correction is presented in Scripture, then you'll see that it actually does just the opposite of inflicting harm or causing deterioration of a child or endangering a child's emotional well-being. So biblical correction is definitely not abuse. In reality, spanking can become abusive, but only when it's used in a way that's inconsistent with Scripture, or when it's used by frustrated parents who will mistreat their children no matter what disciplinary techniques they use. Still, some parents, even Bible-believing Christian parents, are vehemently opposed to spanking. So what I want to do in this session is talk about three common objections and then evaluate those objections by what Scripture says. So some of these objections you may have heard. Some of these objections maybe you have parents who have said to you because you choose to discipline your children. I know these are some objections that we got. People thought we were crazy when we started disciplining our kids. It was barbaric. Thought it was something that well-informed 20th century people just don't do. So here's some of the objections and then the biblical response. First objection is, I don't spank because I love my child too much. I don't spank because I love my child too much. And I would say that, you know, I don't doubt your heart in that sentiment if that's your objection. You see it as something that is cruel and you love your child too much to do anything that's cruel to them. But I just want you to consider what Scripture says. Proverbs 13:24, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." I mean, that's another memory verse for parents. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. I don't spank because I love my child too much. At least according to Scripture, you're not demonstrating love to your child by not spanking him. In Proverbs 3:11-12, "My son," it says, "do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." At the end of this, talking about God's correction of us, he uses the analogy of God's discipline of us by comparing it to something that everybody well knows, that a father who delights in his son is going to correct his son. And he says, God is so much more than that. He loves. Just if an earthly father loves his kid, Heavenly Father loves you so much more. That's why he disciplines. So how does implementing biblical correction demonstrate love to your children? I want to suggest five ways. Number one, biblical correction demonstrates love by delivering your child from destruction. By delivering your child from destruction. Proverbs 23:13-14, again, "Do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him," the word beat there just means strike, "if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell or Sheol. Right? If you strike him, if you hit him with a rod, he's not going to die. The opposite effect happens. You're not going to harm him. You're going to help him. You're going to deliver him from a premature death, is what Sheol is, the realm of the grave or the realm of the dead. You're going to save your kid, spare your kid from destruction. Number two, biblical correction demonstrates love by driving foolishness from your child's heart. This is that other memory verse that you're going to memorize, Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. How does that happen? Because foolishness is sort of a lack of wisdom, a frame of mind. It's an attitude, right? How do you drive that out? Well, I don't know completely. It's an act of faith. I mean, we do this believing, okay, God, I'm trusting you with this. But what it does, I believe, practically, is it instills wisdom. That's how it drives foolishness from his heart. It instills wisdom. You're teaching a child many things we'll talk about later, but one of those things is you're teaching your child that there are consequences for foolish behavior. And it drives that, because who wants to be spanked? Who wants to be struck with a rod? Nobody. Third, biblical correction demonstrates love by developing wisdom in your child's life. It demonstrates love by developing wisdom in your child's life. Proverbs 29:15. So the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Right? So the rod and rebuke give wisdom. Both of those do. But a child that's left to himself, what does that mean? A child who isn't disciplined, isn't corrected, that child will ultimately bring shame to his mother. How does that happen? By his destructive behavior, by the way that he lives, his sinful, self-indulgent, lack of disciplined life. In Hebrews 12:11, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Boy, that's true, isn't it? But painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Number four, biblical correction demonstrates love by defining clear consequences for disobedience. It defines clear consequences for disobedience. Remember the purpose of correction, the purpose of discipline. It's to teach self-control, instill in your child self-control. However, discipline also defines clear consequences for disobedience. Right? It defines that. Throughout Scripture, we see that sin has consequences. And often those consequences are quite painful. Right? Biblical correction models this principle for our children so that as they are being prepared for life on their own, they learn this truth. So the fact is, there are consequences. We experience that. I remember my kids, I don't remember where we were exactly, but I had like a car full of kids. We might have been on vacation. And we're driving, and I told my wife, I said, well, I'm going to get a ticket. Pulled over because I saw the lights in my rearview mirror. And officer came up. Anytime that happened, and by the way, be really respectful. They're just doing their job. And so I was talking to the guy and thanking him for, you know, doing his job. And used it as a teaching opportunity. I told my kids, see, I was disobeying. I was speeding. And he's doing what he should do. Now I'm being disciplined. And my discipline has consequences. And I told him how much the ticket was going to cost. And their eyes got real big because that was like, you know, $1 million to them. It's like, yeah, and I have to pay that. Why? Well, because when you disobey, there's consequences. And that's what I did. So it's a good opportunity to teach them. But there are consequences. Number five, biblical correction demonstrates love by directing your child to the place of blessing. Directing your child to the place of blessing. In Ephesians, we looked briefly at Ephesians 6:4, but right before that, verses 1 through 3, Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Notice this, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. What is he saying? Kids, the whole point here is children, obey your parents because it honors God and it blesses you. That's the reason. Like, there is blessing. It's so that there's promise associated with obeying and honoring parents, so that it may be well with you. When we discipline our children, we are directing them to that place of discipline, to that place of blessing. In Proverbs 29:17, it says, correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. So some parents would say, you know, listen, I don't spank, and I don't believe in spanking because I love my child too much. Well, that's kind of contra to what we find in Scripture. Second objection, I don't spank my child because I don't believe it's the best method for discipline. I don't believe it's the best method of discipline. Now, critics to spanking claim that research has undeniably proven that spanking contributes to destructive behavior in children and that it causes dysfunction in adults. But what most people don't realize, and this is the whole thing about this, I'll call it propaganda, but the information that gets out about this, is that these allegations actually come from studies that intentionally fail to distinguish between gross forms of child abuse, and we're talking about child abuse like, you know, tying your kid with duct tape to a chair and you know, shocking him or using an extension cord to whip him, or, I mean, just, you know, punching him in the face with your fist. Those gross forms of child abuse in these studies get lumped together with the parent who gives their child a spanking, even the kind of spanking we're talking about. And so, therefore, the statistics show, and they say, that spanking shows such and such and such, right? They don't distinguish gross forms of child abuse from the kind of correction that's taught in Scripture. Abusive forms of physical punishment like punching or kicking or biting or beating a child, burning a child, those are all grouped together with correcting a child by spanking. So in other words, where these studies fail is in their refusal to distinguish between the difference of between a calm, under control parent who uses spanking to discipline their child and an angry, frustrated, out-of-control parent who scourges their child with an extension cord or burns their child with a cigarette. The fact is, any form of discipline, when it's used out of anger or frustration, can result in harm and distort a child's perception of justice. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about spanking. So the issue is really not spanking. The issue is parents who are out of control and frustrated and angry. Some parents think that spanking only teaches their children to hit or to resort to violence as a means to deal with problems. But you know what's remarkable? As horrible as physical abuse is, and it is, recent studies have shown that childhood aggressiveness has been more closely linked to maternal permissiveness and negative criticism than it has even to the most severe forms of physical discipline. Is there a difference between hitting a child and spanking a child? Absolutely. So what are some of the differences? And I want to just kind of go through these fairly quickly for the sake of time. Just to help you understand the difference, when we're talking about spanking, what we're not talking about is hitting our kid. Number one, hitting is impulsive. What I mean by that is child is there and is doing something and he's like, maybe he shows disrespect to you. He says, you say, do something. And the child says, no. Here's what hitting is. Smack! What do you mean no? Okay, that's hitting. That's not spanking your child. Or you're someplace and you tell your child, come here. And child disobeys, he doesn't come here, and so you go after him. Maybe you've seen this, and you're like frustrated. It's like, we got to go. Come here, I said. And so you're grabbing his arm, and you're throwing, you, come here. And you're, you know, walking him and spanking. That's hitting. That's not spanking, right? That's impulsive. It's impulsive. However, spanking, on the other hand, is intentional. Spanking is intentional. This is not reactionary. This is something that we intentionally do in the form of training our children. There is a, we'll talk about it in the next session, but there is actually an organized, intentional procedure we follow when we discipline. Secondly, hitting involves the hand, right? Hitting involves the hand. That's kind of spanking, that it's what you do with your hand, right? You hit. You're hitting. So it's either a slap in the face, it's either smacking the kid on the bottom, or, you know, smacking the kid in the head, you know, across his head. That's hitting. Spanking involves a neutral instrument. This is part of the process. Remember, the rod is always used as a tool. And we'll talk about, when we get to that, why use a tool? Why use an instrument, a neutral instrument? Because the hand is to be used for showing provision and love and protection, right? That's what the hand is for. It's a neutral object. I almost brought what we used with our kids, but I've got some in here, and they get like, when they see it, even as adults. No, not really. But the point is, whenever we would say, okay, our thing was, you need to go up to our room. And they knew what that meant. That was code for it's time for discipline. They'd go up to the room, and then we would go up, and we would go into the closet and bring it out. And they would see it, and it was like, you know. I think my son Ben, where are you at, Benny? There. Benny still sees that, and he gets creeped out by it because it's part of his DNA now. It's been so used. But spanking involves a neutral instrument. So my kids never feared that I was going to take my hand, you know, wherever we were, or their mom was going to take her hand, wherever we were, and smack them or spank them. They knew that it was always going to be a neutral instrument. Three, hitting is an emotional response that comes from frustration. Right? It's an emotional response that comes from frustration. It's like, I said, Johnny, come here now. What are you? You know, that's like frustrated, right? Spanking is a spiritual response that comes from submission. Why do I spank? I'm being submissive to God. I got to tell you this. I do a lot of teaching on spanking, and I've done a lot of spanking. I don't like spanking. I just tell you, I don't like spanking. I don't like it, but it's God's way, and I submit to it. So I don't spank my kid as a parent. Because I enjoy spanking. I don't enjoy it. My child doesn't enjoy it. But it is necessary, and it's right, and it's good. It's God's way. So it's an act of faith. Spanking comes from, it's a spiritual response, from submission. So I do it. Areas where we failed, where Karen and I failed as parents, we would probably both tell you it was when we weren't consistent when it came to spanking. It was when we just let things slide and we didn't step up to the plate as an act of obedience and responsibility to God, and we failed to discipline in a particular situation. Number four, hitting is unmeasured. Unmeasured. There's no stopping and starting. It's just, you know, it's just striking your kid. I said never do that again as long as you live. You know, you're just, when are you going to stop? I don't know until I feel like it, you know. You've been there before. That's hitting. Spanking is measured. It's measured. You know there's a starting point and there's a stopping point. Whether you choose to do one swat or three swats or five swats, whatever it is, it's measured. It's measured. Parents who don't believe in spanking end up having to resort to other means of correction. They do. So, okay, you don't believe in spanking, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to take my kid and I'm going to put him in the corner and he's going to be there for 3 hours. And you don't think that's abusive? Like, what do you think your kid's going to have a soft heart from doing that? Well, I'm going to take my kid, I'm going to sit him in this chair, and he's going to sit there, and that's how we're going to do it. Really? That's how you're going to discipline? Most of the books or the magazine articles on parenting actually today try to present all kinds of clever, common sense ways to deal with the issues of discipline. But as appealing as these suggestions might be, they actually all fail to address the issues of the child's heart. That's what we're after. We're not after correcting behavior. We're after the child's heart. And all of those, think about it. You know, think about what this does to a child's heart. He's got to stand here for like, you know, 20 minutes in the corner. Yeah, that softens my heart. You know what that does? That allows bitterness to fester, to develop into, you know, resentment to set in, and doesn't really do anything for me. Doesn't help me as a kid. But you know what a spanking does? It allows me to deal with it, to deal with it appropriately, to confess it, to then have it resolved quickly and to be restored to my parents. So some non-biblical corrective measures may get the child to stop the outward behavior, right? So the behavior stops. That makes it seem like it's successful, but it doesn't deal with the issue of the heart. Correction that doesn't address the child's heart ends up creating distance between the child and the parent. And it produces frustration in the parent and confusion in the child. That's what non-biblical correction does. What biblical correction does is to demonstrate to the child that mom and dad are subject to a higher authority. It demonstrates to them that, you know, we're doing this because this is what God instructs us to do. I don't know how many times I told our kids as they were being brought up, you know, the reason that we're doing this is because this is what God says. This is, we're being obedient to God. And so while biblical correction confronts a child's disobedience and addresses their heart, it restores that relationship. It promotes an atmosphere of closeness and openness between parent and child. Here's a third objection I want to look at. Third objection: I don't spank because I've tried it and it just doesn't work. Well, I've tried it. Yeah, everything you've talked about, I've tried it. I can tell you this, Mike, doesn't work. Doesn't work. Let me tell you what God says. God has designed the correction of the rod to bring forth fruit. Remember Hebrews 12, verse 11? No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Notice what it says. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You know what afterward means? It means afterward, and sometimes it may be long afterward. Stop looking for immediate results. We're looking for character. Let's talk about the fruit of the rod. Okay, what is the fruit of the rod? What does the rod do? Well, first of all, it yields a harvest of peace and righteousness, right? Peace in the sense of, right, what's been there before? Rebellion and discipline creates turmoil. Discipline brings that back into submission. Now there's peace. Instead of being sin and disobedience, unrighteousness, now there's obedience, righteousness. So it yields a harvest of peace and righteousness. Secondly, the rod teaches consequences for sin. Consequences for sin. Teaches that. Three, the rod shows God's authority over mom and dad. Shows God's authority over mom and dad. And number four, it promotes an atmosphere of closeness and openness between the parent and the child. So remember, these aren't immediate results. It will always produce fruit, but not immediate. So when my wife prunes her tomato plants, for instance, she doesn't prune them and expect to see fruit right away. The fruit comes long after the pruning, like, you know, sometimes, you know, weeks after. We're not to correct our children just because we want to see immediate results. We may see immediate results, but we may not. We correct our children because this is what God directs us to do. Discipline is God's design for the training process. The fact is, our children may not always receive the correction that we provide, right? Your kids may not always receive it. Our responsibility is to administer it. It's their responsibility to receive it. When they don't receive it, Scripture says that they'll go astray. Proverbs 10:17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. That's why we want, and part of the process is to help our children receive that correction. We don't want them to go astray. In Proverbs 15:5, he who receives correction is prudent. In Proverbs 12, verse 1, he who hates correction is stupid. He who hates correction is stupid. Proverbs 15:10, he who hates correction will die. So besides when children refuse to respond to biblical correction, there are a couple of additional reasons why the correction that you are seeking to provide may not be yielding results. So let's talk about the failure of the rod. When will spanking definitely not work? Well, it won't work first when parents fail to administer it consistently. When they fail to administer it consistently. What I mean by that is kind of what I talked about, Karen and I. When you're really good for a week and you're consistent and you persevere and you're faithful, it feels like that's all you're doing, and then you back off, you know, for like 4 or 5 months and you're just sporadic. No, it's going to fail if you're not consistent. You can't draw a line for your kid and say you cross this line, it's disobedience, and then sometimes you discipline for that and sometimes you don't. The kid's not going to know what's going on. Or worse, you've just basically said that line means nothing. So it's going to not work. It won't work when you fail to administer it consistently. Secondly, it won't work, spanking won't work when parents fail to administer it calmly. Calmly. It's interesting. Proverbs 22:8 says, the rod of your anger will fail. Think about this. God, is it acceptable for you before God to be angry and out of control? Is that acceptable? Yes or no? No, it's not. Okay, so here you are as an angry, out of control parent trying to discipline your child for disobedience. It's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. You need to demonstrate, I'm submissive to God as you're seeking to bring your child in submission to God. Number three, it won't work, spanking won't work, when parents fail to administer it intentionally. Administer it intentionally. What do I mean by administering it intentionally? What I mean is that there is no process involved. That you're disciplining for the wrong things and you're doing it the wrong way. There's no intentionality behind it. There should be times that you should never spank. I'll just tell you this. There should be times that you never spank. When are those? Three. Well, let me give you four. Number one, never spank for ignorance. Never spank for ignorance. What do I mean by that? That your child doesn't know. So you're not going to spank your child for something you haven't taught or instructed. All right? It'd be like, here's an example. You've just put down new carpet in your house, and you love it. No stains yet. And your kids are outside, and they're so excited they see the new carpet. They've been playing outside, so they run in. Boom, 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 boom. And you see what they've done is they've been playing outside when it's been wet and rainy and mud, and they just drug mud in on your new carpet. And you just like, what? It's my new carpet. Get up to my room right now. That's wrong. You're getting discipline. It's like, the kids are like, what? See, to them, carpet's not a big deal. You've never said anything about the carpet. And now you're like, you're gonna blister their behind because they came in to see the new carpet, never spank for ignorance. Secondly, never spank for accidents. Never spank for accidents. Okay, here's a family at the table. And, you know, Bobby, he's, you know, reaching across to get his to get a scoop of mashed potatoes, and his elbow bumps his milk, and it spills on the table. And you've got company over, and you say, okay, Bobby, you need to get up right now, go to my room. And Bobby's like, what did I do? Bobby didn't disobey. Now, it'd be different if the rule was no horsing around at the table. You horse around at the table, you're going to be disciplined. And so the couple of the kids are horsing around. They're throwing rolls at each other, and one of them bumps the deal and spills. They're not getting disciplined because they spilled milk, the accident. They're getting disciplined because they were horsing around the table. Don't discipline for accidents. Number three, don't discipline for childishness. For childishness. What I mean is for a kid just being a kid. Don't discipline. Don't expect your 3-year-old to be 7. Don't expect your 7-year-old to be 14. Okay? They're kids. Be appropriate with where they're at. When should you always spank? There was three things, 3 D's in our home growing up with our kids that they always got spanked for. Always. Always spank for disrespect. Why is that? Children are to honor their father and mother. Right? Disrespect. Here's disrespect. Disrespect is in word, like no. Come here, Michael. No. That's disrespect. Okay. Disrespect in looks. Benny, I'd like you to go down and pick up your room. Okay. Eyes that roll, get rolled. You know what I mean? Disrespect. How they act. So we wanted our children to learn and to model honoring us. So disrespect. This is where your life really trains how you respect each other. This means wife, how you respect your husband. Husband, how you respect your wife. The kids need to see respect modeled. Certain ways you don't talk to each other. You're modeling for them how to talk. Second D, disobedience. Disobedience. This is where your instruction is key. This is where your instruction is absolutely critical. You want to instruct them about the attitudes that you expect, the actions you expect, behavior, and the character. So you're not ever going to spank them for something that you've not instructed them. There has to be a line drawn before there can be disobedience. You may have in your mind that, well, you just know we don't do that. Well, it was you never told them, never instructed them that we don't do that. Don't assume, okay? Never spank for, or always spank for disrespect, always spank for disobedience. Thirdly, always spank for deceit. That's lying. Okay, lying lips, Proverbs 12:22, are an abomination to the Lord, but they who deal truly are his delight. Those three things, we always spank for disrespect, disobedience, and deceit. Those are the only rules that we had in our house. And there's a lot of things that fall under those umbrellas, right? But it doesn't have to be complicated. So spanking won't work when parents fail to administrate it consistently, calmly, intentionally. Finally, when parents fail to administer it rigorously. What do we mean by that? In the counseling that I've done with people, and we've talked about spanking, when it's not effective, often, when they try everything else, it often comes down to this. They're not spanking their children hard enough. That's the point. People are shocked. Because when we talk about spanking, say, yeah, I like that, I can do that. And so for them, this is spanking. You know, here's the rod, right? Here's my hand. So that's spanking. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. That's not, you're not doing it. The child's then going, ow. Right? You've seen that. They're not, it doesn't affect them. Spanking needs to be, we'll demonstrate it in next session, but spanking needs to be rigorous. It needs to be like a racquetball paddle going for the kill. So your wrists, everything's into it, and kind of good form there, isn't it? So, but here's where it fails. It'll fail when it's just an irritation to your kid, and it's not something that is painful, which Hebrews 12 says it should be.